I'm not sure which one is. Okay, do you see me? Okay, they have it actually, this is, they have it as mining instead of monos. Just the probably. Okay, so that's perfect. Okay, the only thing is, I had like some notes on my laptop, but when I open up on Zoom, I'm not able to find my laptop. So can I use Monana's screen for myself as well? Sorry. Yeah, I can do that. Let me do that. بسم الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقيت الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Brothers and sisters, respected scholars, and all of our viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome everybody to our program for today, titled Imam Khomeini, Rahmatullah alayhi, the Social Muwahhid, Intellectual, Spiritual, and Social Political Thoughts of Imam Khomeini. Insha'Allah, for today's program, we have a lot of things planned. We're going to have some Quran recitation, inshallah, in the beginning, and we will have some videos and some presentations by different brothers and sisters and some youth, as well as, of course, speeches by various ulama, inshallah. So if we can all, inshallah, now we will welcome our brother Muhammad Mirza, who is a grade 5 student at Al Hadi School in Houston. And he is an active member of Ansar al-Hujjah. Inshallah, he will begin our program with recitation of the Holy Quran.
Thank you. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين صدق الله العلي العظيم In the name of the God, the gracious, praise be to God, the Lord. Master of the Day of Judgment, it is you who we worship, and upon you we call for help. Guide us to the straight path, the path of those who you have blessed, not against whom there is anger, nor those who are misguided. Sadaqallahu al-Aliyyul Azim.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. We thank our brother Muhammad Mirza for the recitation of the Holy Quran. Inshallah, what I will be doing is during the transitions from one speaker to the next or from one presentation to the next, inshallah, I will be sharing select verses of the Holy Quran that I personally felt really were embodied in the character of Imam al-Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayh. And so the first verse that I had chosen was أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وجاهدوا في الله حق جهاده. And the verse means, and that is Surah 22, verse number 78. And of course, from the beginning of the life of Imam Khomeini up until the very last moments, we see that it was all one continuous jihad, whether it was the inner jihad for the pure of his own soul, or the outer jihad against the tawaghit of his time. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with a leader who has brought this verse to life for us to witness. Inshallah, what we will do now is we have a youth song presented in memory of the blessed Imam. And we will begin that now, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. As for the next verse of the Holy Quran that was chosen as a verse that was embodied by our blessed Imam Khomeini, it is chapter 33, verse number 39. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين يبلغون رسالات الله ويخشونه ولا يخشون أحدا إلا الله وكفى بالله حسيبا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who convey the messages of Allah and they fear him and they do not fear anyone except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sufficient is Allah as an accountant. And of course we see this all throughout the lifetime of Imam Khomeini, from the time that he began his uprising for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, delivering the message of Islam to all of the people of the world. And we see that there was no force that could instill fear within the blessed Imam's heart. And it was through that fearlessness that he was able to deliver the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, the presentation that we have next is entitled An Ode to a Just Leader by a Humble Follower. And it will be presented by our brother Sarush Jafari, inshallah, with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. First and foremost, my sincerest condolences to you all and to the Imam of our time. It has been stated from numerous traditions from the Ahlul Bayt and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that a loss of a scholar is indeed a very heavy loss on the Ummah. And to lose a scholar like Imam Khomeini, it's definitely, he was an irreplaceable gem. So this is my humble ode to a just leader. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نادى علي أن أذر رجاء ابتجد وانا لك في النوائب كل حم وقم من سيئن جلي بأسمتك يا الله بنبوتك يا محمد وبولايتك يا علي أن يا علي أن يا علي. What is a leader? A leader is someone who takes into account the whole of the situation, not just what they see in front of them. A leader is one who makes the tough decisions even when faced with opposition from their own camp. A leader leads when they need not to personally. The leader knows that their cause is bigger than even themselves. A leader knows leadership does not mean always power. A leader may write down their vision and share it with the students to help them be his successors. A leader faces exile by the tyrant because his people are not yet ready to be led. A leader looks for the opportunity to help his people in whatever way possible. The world has produced a many statesmen, politicians, monarchs, dictators, strongmen, and despots. Yet rarely have we seen a true leader emerge. Yet in the latter half of the 20th century, from the most unlikeliest of countries, in the garb of a sage, the people found their leader. A mystic who had composed the most mesmerizing poetry. The son of Musa had come forth, demanding not only the liberation of his people by toppling the Samari and his puppet regime, yet engaging the Pharaoh of the time that we will not be silenced, for the Lord has indeed delivered us to victory. Ibn Ammar sits here in the belly of the beast as the world burns in chaos due to man's greed. Innocent lives are taken by the instruments of tyranny, yet just as four decades prior, a just leader led to the collapse of the ancient order of the lion and the sun, today the fall of the great Satan has begun. All across the world, the empire crumbles. A new light is shining as the arrival of the promised leader manifests itself. I can see within his ranks the leader who laid the foundation of this divine change. The rahbar can now finally retire after 30 years of shepherding the revolution, for now the revolution is directly under the Imam's command. Yet even Abu al-Qasim stops at the mausoleum in Ray to send his salams on this sage whose tireless efforts towards the advent had led the way. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
We thank that our dear brother for that tribute to Imam Khomeini. If we even notice some of the words that he chose to describe the blessed Imam, they themselves prove that all-encompassing nature of the Imam. A leader, but not restricted only to politics. He was also that spiritual leader, and so he was a mystic, and he was that religious leader, and so he was a sage. The next verse of Quran is chapter 3, verse 139, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Rabbana innana sami'na munadiyan. You are calling to faith. An aminu bi rabbikum fa amanna. Saying, believe in your Lord, and so we have believed. And of course, we see that this verse has been manifested in the personality of Imam Khomeini, who awoke an ummah that had been sleeping for far too long with his call. And alhamdulillah, we see that under his leadership, the call was not abandoned, but rather the people and the masses all came out in support for the cause of the blessed Imam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Now, inshallah, we will have the first of our three scholarly speeches, inshallah, will be delivered by Maulana Shamshad Haidar, who is a scholar of Islam, a trustee of the Muslim Congress, and the founder of the Pre-Hausa program. And he is currently a sexist. And at the same time, he also works as a mental health counselor. And he will, inshallah, now begin his speech.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Bara'il khala'iqi adba'in. Wa sallallahu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Habibi ilahil alameen. Abil qasim Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Wa ala ahla baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'asumin al-mazlumin. My condolence to Muslim Ummah, leader of our revolution and the Imam of our time, at this anniversary of demise of the great leader of Islamic Revolution, Marhum Imam Khomeini, Quddisa Sirruh. And I applaud and I congratulate and thank, show my gratitude to the brothers and sisters who came together to organize this event. Now the time is very short for me. I would like to focus on a topic of importance, and I will limit myself to that topic. I could request you all to recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. With respect to Imam Khomeini, the word Imam, it has, the first time this word came around, Imam Khomeini, a debate started among the, I think, the people we know amongst ourselves, Shia people and others as well. Now, for others, it may not have been that big of a problem immediately, but Imams, the word Imam in Shia, you know, terminology, it was used for the 12 Imams. So when we started using the word Imam with another human being, so the debate started, you know, is this another Imam, like 13th Imam or what? So I will start with a quote from an article I was reading, that a Jewish German scholar, he was asked this question, why don't you use the, he was a professor in a university in Germany. He was asked this question, sir, why don't you use the word Imam with Khomeini? Like, why do you call him Ayatollah? Why do you call him Ayatollah Khomeini or Khomeini or Khomeini, the leader of Iran or other things? But why don't you use the word Imam Khomeini, which the Iranians at that point were using? He said, because we discovered something. He said, what is that? So he opened his briefcase and he took out a book in German language that was called Wilayatul Faqih. That was the writing of Imam Khomeini in Najaf. Some of his lectures were compiled in the form of a book on the topic of Wilayatul Faqih. He said that Ayatollah Khomeini, he proposed this theory of Wilayatul Faqih for the world of Islam. That this idea of a Wali al-Faqih, marja, a mujtahid who governs and leads not just a nation state, rather the world community of Islam, the global Muslim community, that this is a imam of an ummah. This idea of, so if we use the word imam, we will be reinforcing that idea that yes, for example, Khomeini is a leader internationally, the global leader for all the Muslims of the world. Because this word imam, the connotation comes with ummah. Imam, the word is Islamic terminology. It cannot be translated into English language. When you say imam, people will ask, what is the meaning of imam? So obviously the only meaning that comes out is from the Islamic context, because it's an Arabic word. So it will mean that, okay, it is not a leader of Iran, it is not a leader of a change or a political change or a revolution that happened within the confines of a nation state called Iran. Rather, he is a leader of the world of Islam. So we don't want to endorse that idea. But when we call him a leader, when we call him, let's say, Ayatollah, right? So that's different. If we call him a leader, well, he stands with the rest of the leaders, like Hitler, Mussolini, I don't know, Napoleon, and, you know, other Stalin and other leaders of the world. And then we can bring him down and compare him, basically, limit his role, and compare him with the rest of the leaders. And use the word imam, then it has a totally different connotation, totally different meaning. Now, I will come back to this topic. I started this idea that many of us today, when we use the word, when we want to remember Imam Khamenei, a lot of people, they are in doubt whether we should call him Imam Khamenei or we should call him Ayatollah Khamenei. Now, it used to be in back then, you know, like many years ago, same debate started for Imam Khomeini as well, that he was called Aghai Khomeini or Ayatollah Khomeini. So the question is, why should we, what is the difference? What if we call Imam Khamenei Imam Khomeini or we don't, what difference does it make? See, there's, when we say Imam of an Ummah, then all these other topics that come from Quran and Ahlul Bayt, they come up. For example, the idea of Muslim brotherhood, that all the brothers and sisters who read the Kalima of Islam are all part of this global Muslim community, this nation. And obviously when they are brothers and sisters to each other, they have mutual responsibilities. For example, Amr bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar. If they are all part of this global community, then if one part of the ummah is under attack, it becomes a duty of the rest of the Muslims to come to their help and support. But if it's if Khomeini, Ayatollah Khomeini, is a leader of Iran, then the people of Iran don't feel obligated to go out and support the people of Palestine or Kashmir or Yemen or elsewhere, nor do the Muslims living in other parts of the world have any such obligation. Now, this word imam, when people confuse this, you know, Imam Khomeini with Imam Hussein, for example, Imam Khomeini with Imam Ali, Imam Khomeini with Imam Jafar al-Sadiq, alayhi salam, for example, alayhi salatu wasalam. Well, it is because they were ignorant about Islam. They did not understand what what this means. Because for them, imamate of 12 imams was something, let's say, Imam Hussein al-Islam is that figure in history who, let's say, he led an uprising or he was killed in a place called Karbala. And in Muharram, we come together and commemorate that sacrifice. So what is the implication of that now? A lot of people did not realize that Imam Hussein al-Islam has a message for us today. They did not really fully realize that. But when you understand what imamate means and you understand that this is talking about the global Muslim community and that ideas like justice, which are defined by Quran and Ahlul Bayt, then the justice becomes, in the light of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, again, it becomes a responsibility of every single member of the society to stand up for justice. Today, the same way, if we have Ayatollah Khamenei in the role of, in the same place as Imam Khomeini, people should view him, a person in Palestine, a person in Yemen, Kashmir, Africa, America, Europe, elsewhere, should view this person, should see this person not as an Ayatollah, not as a leader of Islamic Republic of Iran, right? Not as a revered scholar, rather as Imam Ummat, the leader of the world of Islam. So, okay, now debate started after Imam Khomeini passed away. The first khutbah delivered in Tehran by a scholar who passed away. He said that the word imam will not be used any longer because imam was something exclusive to Ayatollah Khomeini. He was the imam. So it is like saying, okay, I love you very much, but when you go away, I also ignore and I bury your ideas and your philosophy and your mission and your message as well. Imam Khomeini left, but his ideas, his message, right, did not die. To say that, okay, the word imam will be restricted to Imam Khomeini is completely, it's a sign of ignorance. It shows that the person is totally unaware of what Imam Khomeini stood up for. He, when he presented the idea, this thesis, his theory of Wilayat al-Faqih, which is totally based in the Hadith and Quran, he was talking about the world Muslim community, which is in the waiting for the savior who is to arrive and bring justice to this world. But when it was restricted to him as an honorary title of some sort, that, okay, this person, because we love him so much, we respect him so much, we call him Imam. No, that was not the reason why we call Ayatollah Khomeini an Imam. No, that was not the idea. That was not the reason at all. So now, same thing happened in the first days of the revolution. There was a debate in the parliament when the constitution was being drafted. Ayatollah Muntazari was the immediate in the beginning. He was the speaker of the house, and Imam Khomeini removed him and appointed Ayatollah Beheshti. The debate was about the word imama to be used in the constitution. And the constitution of Islamic Republic used the word imamat 4 or 5 times at least, in context of Waliul Faqih, imamat of Waliul Faqih. Waliul Faqih is the imam of the Muslim Ummah. And there was a huge uproar, and there were many who were dissidents who disagreed with that, Bazargan and other people, and he walked away, and they demanded that all the people who were with him should resign from that constituent assembly. And they also demanded that the Majlis of Khubragan should be dissolved because they're using this new terminology. They wanted Iran to have its constitution with Iranian leader, who is the leader of that country, who is like any other leader of any other country. So, and Ayatollah Beheshti was the person who put his foot down and insisted, no, it will not work like that. And he used the word imamat in context of Wilayat al-Faqih. So today we should understand that we are not talking about Ismat and Imam-e-Masoom. We are talking about a Muslim community a nation of Islam, whose founder, the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he founded this community, and he wanted this community to grow and expand and basically, you know, this deen should dominate in a real sense, bring justice to humanity. If Muslims would assume and understand this role that they have been assigned, then they must have a leader who is the main agent of change, and all should follow him to bring justice to mankind. And we see that Imam Khomeini, with the kind of person that he was, the revolution, as I quoting another scholar, he said that the revolution that Imam Khomeini brought in the hearts and minds of people across the world, especially starting from Iran, a bigger revolution happened within himself that he was able to, you know, manifest. He was able to show to the world, and that created that, you know, movement that continues to this day. And we see the change of that, because why would a person living in another part of the world accept influence from another nation's leader? Because he sees that person as his own leader. And this, if anyone knows, if let's say an African-American Muslim or a Hispanic or God knows what, any ethnicity or race anywhere in the world is oppressed. So in this idea of Imam and Ummat, we have the idea of Mustaz'af and Mustakbir. We have the world divided in between oppressors and the oppressed. But if there's a nation state, no, there's no such thing. It's basically developed countries and underdeveloped countries, advanced countries or vulnerable classes. Say higher social economic status, lower social economic status. Where, well, we look at the vulnerable classes as classes of people as if they are idle, they are good for nothing, and they're just poor because they were not smart enough, or whatever way you explain it. But no, you look at the people who are disadvantaged from the context of being oppressed by another class of people up there who are the oppressors. But that can only happen in the context of imamat of a wali al-faqih, who wants to be the main, you know, visionary and the guide who brings all this humanity together, all the oppressed people together, lines them up and encourages them, motivates them, rallies them to advance towards the implementation and administration of justice around the world. And that is a movement that has begun and continues. It is only up to us to fully realize all the implications of this message of Imam Khomeini. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the ranks, and his ranks are definitely elevated, and may Allah make us among those who follow this beautiful and inspiring message in our lives, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. We thank Maulana for that very good talk, inshallah. In addition to sharing a verse of the Quran, because Maulana did speak about the concept of imamat as it relates to Imam Khomeini, for example, as opposed to the ma'sumin imams or the part of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, I would recommend for everybody to read the book of the current leader, Imam Khamenei, entitled Islamic Thought in the Quran. It has been translated into English for those who read English, and there is an entire section of the book that deals with the concept of imamat, and it is very beneficial in terms of a lot of the things that Maulana also discussed. Inshallah, another verse that, of course, was embodied by the blessed Imam Khomeini is Surah number 35, verse number 28. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ غَفُورٌ. only those fear Allah from among his servants who have knowledge. So it is only the ulamat from among Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's servants who truly fear him. And we see that, again, this is something that was embodied by Imam Khomeini, where there was no force and there was no individual and there was no country that was able to exert any influence or any pressure onto him, because he saw truly that all of the attributes of strength and power and might belonged exclusively to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there was no need for him to be intimidated at any time by any being or any existent other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, with that, we will welcome next Sister Izza Ali, who will be giving a small talk on the Imam's stance against injustice and oppression. And inshallah, everybody will recite a salawat to welcome her.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. I wanted to, of course, start off just as everyone has, and give condolences to our ummah for the loss of such a beloved and esteemed scholar that we were so graciously blessed with, and who has provided us, honestly, such a strong foundation in our beliefs. I wanted to use this time today to just give a quick synopsis on the legacy of Imam Khomeini and his stance throughout his life, and how it was devoted to not only the teachings of our Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, but also how he used their words and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to serve as Muslims against oppression and against injustice. So as we're all aware about the historical and tragic events of Karbala and Imam Hussein, we know that the way Imam Hussein defeated Yazid was by standing up to injustice of his time, even when he was extremely outnumbered. Ayatollah Khomeini used to state that the Yazid of our time and the Yazid of his time, of course, was imperialism. And in this way, we are familiar with the revolution of Iran in 1979. And through the guidance of Imam Khomeini, Iran was able to be held as an anti-imperialist, revolutionary Islamic powerhouse, right? During the 1979 revolution, Imam Khomeini was able to rally masses across the world, masses of over 35 million Muslims and non-Muslims, to stand up to the oppressors of the time, the Shah, of course, America, and all of the Western superpowers at the time. People from across the world, in Syria, in Lebanon, in Libya, in Palestine, in Pakistan, in India, many African countries, the Omani Liberation Front, Eritrea, the Chilean resistance, the Chadian Liberation Movement, Spain, Korea, many places all around the world supported Imam Khomeini and his movement. So at that point, we realize it is not only what the words he's saying and using the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, he's able to rally all of these people to understand that at the end of the day, we have to be anti-racist and anti-oppression and injustice. Like, we have to support justice. When we examine the words of Imam Khomeini in his last will and his testament, we see that Imam Khomeini is giving a call to action to all of the Muslims around the world, that it is our responsibility to speak up in all matters of injustice and oppression. Our current but long-standing issue that we're seeing in the news currently, that has been going on for a long time, but the issue has been more spotlighted, is police brutality and the systems that continue to make those to allow murders of people of color, and especially Black people, continue to go on. Now, Imam Khomeini's life and legacy was unique because he used his platform to change the political discourse, change the discussion of not only Iran, but around the world. And we see communities around the world today use the Iranian revolution as a means to reflect and destroy tyranny in their lives. Imam Khomeini says in his last will and testament that I'd love to read to you guys is, "I advise all generations, present and future, who want to witness the continued life of the divine rule and witness, also the eliminating the influences of colonists and exploitators, in or outside of the country from their land, cannot do better than to continue to preserve the same theocentric feelings which the Supreme Lord has emphasized in the Holy Quran, a feeling which helps us to forget individual differences. And then Imam Khomeini in his will goes on to quote the Quran and say, if you help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will help you and will make you foothold firm. And this is in Surah 47, Ayah 7. So we see throughout his life, Imam Khomeini used Islam and the Islamic lens specifically to almost work to unite Muslims via foreign policy and for common purpose of uniting against oppression. Imam Khomeini has a famous quote where he says that if the Islamic Brotherhood comes to fore among Islamic countries, such will become great power, which none of the global powers will be able to cope with. That is very powerful to think that if all of the Muslim countries in our Islamic, just the Islamic Brotherhood were to unite, then we would be unstoppable. But of course, around the world, there are so many different influences and factors and pushes, right, that greed and power overcome those. But again, it is so important for us, first as Muslims, as Shia Muslims especially, to know that we have to stand up and speak what's right. These powerful words that I just shared are very small quotes. I hope they all help us individually by liberating ourselves first, right? Seeking knowledge, learning about history and the world around us, and most importantly, being inspired by the lives of the divine, our 14 Masumin, who in every case we look back in history, they were the minority, right? They were the people who were oppressed. They were alone in many instances, but always in the end, they had faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just like that, Imam Khomeini used that to inspire himself, even when he felt like it was him in a small country almost against the biggest superpowers. He was able to do that under the banner of Islam. So my words to everyone are to be active together, work amongst each other. And of course, when you see systems of oppression, be vocal about them. And may we be all inspired by the words of Imam Khomeini, and may we all work amongst each other to create the ummah that he died for, inshallah. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And thank you to our sister for sharing those thoughts. Alhamdulillah. So the next verse of the Holy Quran that I will share is actually very pertinent to irrelevant to what the sister was sharing. They said that once a group of youth had requested from Imam Khomeini to give them some advice. And so in his response, what he mentioned to them was the ayah of the Holy Quran, chapter 34, verse number 46, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل إنما أعظكم بواحدة. So say, I only advise you of one thing, أن تقوموا لله مثنى وفرادى ثم تتفكروا, that you rise or you stand for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in pairs and individually, and then give thought. And this is, of course, another thing that we see that Imam Khomeini embodied within his lifetime, was this idea of rising up. But of course, as the sister had mentioned, and as we know, was the central point of Imam Khomeini's movement and his life, was that it was a rising up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a rising up for the sake of delivering the message of Allah and seeing it actually implemented within the society. And this is where we get this title that we have of Imam Khomeini being the social muwahhid. There's another book by the leader Imam Khamenei where it is called At-Tawheed and its Social Implications, where he mentions this, he draws this distinction between different types of muwahideen. So you have those monotheists who they believe in one God, but practically speaking, this belief doesn't really distinguish them from the other members of society, even if they were living in a pagan or an atheistic society. Whereas the tawheed or the monotheism of Islam is one where we see Allah's laws implemented and obeyed on the personal level, but as well as on the societal and on the political level. And this is what, inshallah, the awaited savior, Sahib al-Zaman, will implement at a global level. And this is what Imam Khomeini began by laying the first brick and implementing it at the level of the nation of Iran. So inshallah, with those reminders and statements, now we will play a couple of videos that will depict a little bit more about the noble Imam Khomeini after a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
In the year 1342 Iranian calendar, on one of the nights of Muharram, 2 days after the eye-opening speeches of Imam Khomeini, which were against the despotic Pahlavi monarchy and exposed the secretive relationship between the Shah of Iran and Israel, the secret intelligence agency SAWAK sensed a serious threat to the Pahlavi establishment by Imam Khomeini's statements. And so on the morning of the 15th of Khordad in the year 1342, the SAWAK police arrested Imam Khomeini and transferred him to a jail in Tehran. A few hours later, the people of Qom, Faramin, Tehran, Shiraz, Mashhad, and in many other cities across the country, people closed their shops and came out to protest the arrest of Imam Khomeini, thus coming face to face with the Pahlavi regime's forces. This confrontation with the Pahlavi regime forces resulted in the killing of many innocent and defenseless people, and likewise unmasked the Pahlavi regime's subservience to Western powers.
در روز 15 خرداد 42 حادثه‌ای که اتفاق افتاد پیوند مردم با روحانیت را در این سطح خطرناک و حساس نشان داد.
This was a joining which began on behalf of the Iranian masses, and due to the awakening of the Iranian masses against the oppressive Pahlavi regime, eventually resulted in the victory of the Islamic Revolution in the year 1357. And it is due to this that the day of the 15th of Khordad is an emotional point in the history of the struggle of the Iranian nation under the leadership and guidance of Imam Ruhullah Khomeini.
صفات متعددی همواره توصیف میکنیم اما این صفت که کمتر ما امام رو با اون توصیف کرده ایم یک صفت جامع است مؤمن است متعبد است انقلابی است امیدوارم که انشاءالله با عنایات خاصی ولی عصر ارواح ناله الفدا این کشتی متلاطم انسانیت به ساحل نجات برسد و مستضعفان جهان بر مستکبران ظالم پیروز شوند.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Inshallah, the next verse that we will share has been alluded to in some of the previous, some of the words of the previous speakers, specifically Maulana Shamsad, who said that, who related from another scholar who said that it was the inner revolution of Imam Khomeini that allowed the outer revolution, the Islamic revolution, to manifest in reality. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 3, verse number 102 of the Holy Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته. O you who have believed, fear Allah or have taqwa for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent that He is deserving of. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And do not die except as Muslims in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see again from the very early, from the earliest days of Imam Khomeini's life, we see that the center of all of his attention, of all of his love, all of his devotion and action and thought was always Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be in his personal life, with his family, with his studies, with his teaching, with his political stances and his movement and his leadership. It was always focused on piety and having taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, as he said himself, that we will never be able to reform the society so long as we have not reformed ourselves. Inshallah, after that verse of the Holy Quran, the next part of our program will be a short video that alhamdulillah has been put together and sent to us by our dear sister Marzia Hashimi, who many of us are already familiar with. She's an American-born journalist who did her hijrah to the Islamic Republic of Iran, and she now works as a journalist, alhamdulillah, for Press TV. Many of us know her as not too long ago, she was illegally detained, or you could say kidnapped by the FBI when she came to America to visit family. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, forgiving that Allah has given her the strength to continue the mission even after that difficulty. So now, inshallah, we will share a video from her.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. I'm very happy to be with you, but of course it is a sad day, the anniversary of the death of our great leader, Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alai. It has been 31 years since we have lost this unbelievable leader. But really, when we think about him and what we've learned from him, it is unbelievable what we're seeing today take place and what Imam told us many, many years ago to watch for. And I think that we have to look at and try to implement so many of the lessons that he taught for us and try to go in that direction today. First of all, I have to say that I'm very happy to be with you all on this occasion. You know, unfortunately, after 31 years going by, sometimes people tend to forget, tend not to commemorate and sometimes forget the overall effect that this unbelievable man had in this world. I mean, even his enemies said that he was the man who changed the world. And indeed, he changed the world in so many ways. I mean, I will give a quick personal story. Of course, being an African American and talking about Imam Khomeini right now, I remember actually the day that he died. I was living in Iran at the time, and one of my neighbors came over and she said, "Did you hear what happened?" And I said, "No," and she says, "You know, Imam died." And to be honest, we just both held each other and cried. And this part I want to talk about, because you see, it wasn't about being an Iranian, an American, an Arab, or whatever. It was across the board, because he lived the lifestyle. He was following the way of the Ahlul Bayt. And thus, that love for him, for the way of the Ahlul Bayt, across the board, no matter nationalities. And this is what it really, one of the main lessons that Imam had given to us, and came back and relived something that perhaps the world had not seen in a very, very long time. That it is not about power, it is not about riches, it's about doing what is right. It is about the Sirat al-Mustaqim and going on the right path and fearing and loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we recall when Imam returned to Iran, and he was on the flight coming back, and he was asked on the plane, "So how do you feel right now? You're about to go back, the Shah has been thrown out, and you're returning, and you're going to take over the leadership, basically. How do you feel?" And he says, "Nothing, nothing." And basically, this is a lesson for all of us. It's whatever Allah wants to happen. We put our faith in Him, we follow what we're supposed to do, and the rest is with Allah. And either way, if we're to live, if we're to die, if whatever is meant to happen, as long as we are doing what we're supposed to doing, it's all fine. And I think this is a very important lesson for us to learn and to implement, especially in this world that we're living in today, that we see so much oppression, so many places. And right now, you guys are in the United States, you're in Houston, Texas, and you've seen what has been happening across that country, of course, after the death of another black man at the hands of the oppressive police in the United States. But this time it reached a point that the people could not take it any longer. See, this is a key point, and this is one of the things that Imam and, of course, the school of the Ahlul Bayt talks about, in not allowing oneself to be oppressed, not tolerating oppression, and not to just stand by and let oppression take place without saying anything. And it's been interesting in this whole situation that's been taking place in the U.S. And of course, we all know that this has been going on for years and years and years. And we see people taking films and everything. And it's always the question, but how can you just stand by and let something happen like that? And of course, in this situation, it was different. It was a teenager. But in general, we have seen cases where there are 10, 15, 20 people, and they just take the video and they say, "Don't do it. Oh, no, don't do it," because of that fear of police. We must get to the point that we only fear Allah. And as Shia and Sunnis, I'm sure, who are in the audience, as Muslims, this is something that you must teach others. First and foremost, you follow yourself, and also teach others in that society that you cannot allow yourself to be oppressed and be satisfied with a life of oppression. I think that's the biggest lesson that Imam brought to us, and that's what you're seeing taking place, really. The Islamic Republic and what took place, and even though, of course, in Iran continuing to pay the price for its independence, but it is definitely better to be independent and to even have some hardship than to live under an oppressor. Anyway, thank you guys very much, and inshallah, may we all go the way of our Ahlul Bayt. And of course, and always remember what Imam Khomeini brought to this world. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Inshallah, the verse that will now be shared also, again, alhamdulillah, was reflected in what the sister had mentioned. about Imam Khomeini's love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his return back to Iran after his exile. Of course, only focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, the second chapter of the Holy Quran, verse 165, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله. So there are people who take other than Allah as equals to him, and they love them as they should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. But those who believe are stronger in love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see that this was one of the main lessons, if not the main lesson of Imam Khomeini, was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always has to be at the center. So at the time of the Holy Quran, of course, it was stone and wood idols that people were worshipping. But all throughout history as well, we see that one of those other idols that people give love and devotion and obedience to independently of Allah is an oppressive system and an oppressive ruler, where they are obeying commands independent of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is unfortunately something that we see that the majority of the world has been subjected to. And this is really the greatness of what Imam Khomeini did, was that he took people from the obedience and subservience to other people, and he allowed them to become obedient and subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah only. So alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen for that blessing. Now, inshallah, we will welcome our next scholar for the second scholarly lecture of today's program. And inshallah, it will be delivered, excuse me, by Maulana Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani, who has studied for over 20 years in the Islamic Seminary of Qum. And now, alhamdulillah, he is residing in Dearborn, Michigan as the resident scholar of the community, basing his activities out of the Hadi Institute Youth Community Center. Inshallah, after everyone recites a salawat, we will have Maulana come.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are commemorating the 31st death anniversary of the late Imam Khomeini. And I offer my condolences to all of you, to all of the mu'mineen and mu'minat, all of the oppressed, the muslimin, and also the maraj, and of course the leader, and finally to the imam of the time. Imam Khomeini, brothers and sisters, was very unique. And you and I, we are blessed to be living in an era where we are post Imam Khomeini. The reality is, when you look at the lives of the words of our most senior ulama, when they talk about the contributions of Imam Khomeini, they tell us that Imam Khomeini, the contributions of Imam Khomeini were closer to the works of Anbiya than they were to the contributions of ulama. The reality is, if we look after the advent of Islam itself and the Ma'asumeen, we don't see amongst our ulama, although we've had greats, Sheikh Tusi, Sayyid Murtada, so many great individuals, other individuals, but never has there been anyone like Imam Khomeini. Now, brothers and sisters, talking about Imam Khomeini is not just to remember his fada'il and his manaqib. We want to learn from Imam Khomeini. We want dars from Imam Khomeini. So we're going to take one lesson today, and today's lesson is called Making a Movement Out of a Moment. Making a movement out of a moment. Imam Khomeini could take a moment and turn that into a movement. For those of you who are familiar with the history of the Islamic Revolution, when the Shah attacked Faylia, it was a moment. It was a few hours beating the students, throwing them off the rooftops. But Imam Khomeini took that, and with the guidance of Imam Khomeini, it became, that moment became the spark for the revolution. So he could take a moment and turn it into a movement. Now, you and I, brothers and sisters, I'm sure you've sensed this with every part of your being, that after the death of Shahid Qasim Soleimani and Shahid Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, things started to change very rapidly in the world. You could feel it, you could see it. You're watching events after events after events. And then now, after the murder of George Floyd, again, you're seeing things are really picking up. So it's a unique opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented to you and I. Allah wanted that before the Imam return, you and I take on the challenge of systematic racism. This is a unique opportunity, a wonderful opportunity, a great challenge. We're talking about 400 years of systematic oppression here in America, but we're thinking bigger than just America. But Allah wanted this to be addressed. So how do we do this? How do we take on this incredible challenge? So I want to look, we're looking and learning from Imam Khomeini and seeing how, what was his secret of success? Brothers and sisters, there were three beliefs, you could say, three views that Imam Khomeini held. And those views that Imam Khomeini held made him able to take on unbelievable challenges. He would work modern social miracles. What were those three beliefs that Imam Khomeini had that we need to have? One of them was he had unwavering belief in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unwavering belief. Number two was that Imam Khomeini believed in the masses of the mu'mineen. He believed in the people. Others had written the people off. He wasn't deceived by the outward appearances, the mistakes that the mu'mineen had made. He believed in the believers. As Allah says in the Holy Quran, Surah 9, verse number 61, يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ, he describes our Prophet in this way, يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ, he believes in Allah, وَيُؤْمِنُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and he trusts the mu'mineen. Imam Khomeini had these two wonderful characteristics, but that wasn't it. He had another characteristic, another belief that he held that made him a giant killer. Like Nabi Dawood, he could take on Goliath. What was that other belief of Imam Khomeini? Imam Khomeini, may Allah have mercy on his soul, believed in himself and his ability to get the job done with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was in an embodiment of that verse of the Quran where Allah says in the Quran, La yukallif Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. We're capable. He was able to, not only did he believe this, he made the nation, wait till I tell you a little bit about what the Iranian nation was like before to see that this is a lesson that we can get and then we can use it to liberate the oppressed here and the globe. So these three beliefs, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief in the masses, the mu'mineen, the believers, and then belief in ourselves to get the ability to get the job done with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Islamic self-confidence. So, brothers and sisters, very quickly, a little bit about what systemic racism is. Because as I mentioned, in America, the black people have been going and have been enduring systemic racism for 400 years. This isn't new. Now, for some of my non-African American brothers and sisters, they know, well, what is it like to live under systemic racism? What does it do to you, to your perception about yourself, to your perception about the police, to your perception about those who are indifferent to your struggle? So, brothers and sisters, just so we can get a picture, a little bit about what this is, you and I all witness George Floyd get murdered on camera. It was videotaped. There were police officers standing there keeping people away as this man, for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, a knee was on his neck and he was begging for his life. And all people were doing was watching, begging, entreating the police to let him go. After that happened, it was the straw that broke the camel's back. People started protesting. They started rioting. Not only that, the world got upset. Capitals around the world, people marching. It's not okay. You can't do that to anybody. Racial discrimination is not allowed for anybody. People marching globally. Here in America, America on fire. When that happened, what happened? More police brutality. You see what the police state is like? What is the police state like? People brave, bullets, rubber bullets, beating, savagery. And they said, no, enough is enough. They came out into the streets. After that, the police still didn't stop. You see them shooting reporters, blinding reporters, arresting reporters on TV. This is the savagery of America. This is what it is. This is what racial, systemic racial injustice is. So after that, then what happened? Brothers and sisters, keep this in mind. Keith Ellison, the attorney general in Minnesota, is black and a Muslim, Keith Ellison. Ilhan Omar is from Minnesota. Global protest. This country burning, they finally arrested the police officers, maybe the one who had his knee on the man's neck in front of everyone. Maybe he'll be charged with second degree murder. Maybe. Qualified immunity, police unions. What is it like? What are we up against? Now, still, the world is moving towards the coming of the Imam of the time, brothers and sisters. The masses of the world have realized you can't be indifferent to oppression. You can't just watch. You have to demand justice. The masses have realized you can't beg a tyrant for your lawful rights. That's what George Floyd did. Begging the tyrant doesn't work. You have to demand your rights from that tyrant. Now, knowing a little bit about what systemic racism is, what can we learn from the life of Imam Khomeini that will empower us to do this mission that we have and restore dignity to the oppressed? But not only the oppressed here, brothers and sisters, to liberate the globe. Remember, Imam Khomeini, may Allah have mercy on him. May he bless him and raise him with Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. He did many things. He revived Islam. He gave us as a Muslim ummah, a sense of ummah. This is the greatest defense that we have against these hegemonic powers. He gave karama to the oppressed. They were humiliated. I want to give you some examples. So we say, how do we give karama to the oppressed? Because Imam Khomeini's mission was not only to give karama to Iran or just the Muslims, but the mustadhafin and the earth. Those of you who remember the slogans of Imam Khomeini about those who are barefoot and downtrodden. You remember the slogans of Imam Khomeini. The students of Imam Khomeini, people like Shahid Qasim Soleimani or Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, they died trying to realize this goal of giving karama to the oppressed. Remember what Imam Khamenei said after Shahid Qasim Soleimani was murdered? He said the mission of the Quds Force is to protect the karama of the oppressed. Why is it so important that oil tankers go from Iran to Venezuela? That the Syrians not be left alone when the Tawaghit say openly, we're there to secure the oil. Why is that so important? What are we supposed to do? What is the lesson of being a student of Imam Khomeini. What are we supposed to do? But let me explain a little bit how bad off Iran was. Remember, Iran in the time of the Shah was a blunt instrument used by the global powers. The Shah was supported by these same tawaghit. They were the blunt instrument used to support Israel, to keep everybody else under their knees, to have their knees on their neck. And Imam Khomeini rose up against that with no support. Only 2 years, his marja'i is only 2 years after the death of marhum Ayatollah Burujerdi to Imam Khomeini, things getting heated. Otherwise, Imam Khomeini, from the beginning, he just followed that Quranic method of gradually escalating. Otherwise, Imam Khomeini never blinked from the beginning. But what did Imam Khomeini do? Well, was Iran like? Let me give you a couple of examples of what the degradation that was there in Iran, so you can see why it is that Muslims around the world, the people of the world, feel for the African Americans. What was Iran like? Once the Minister of Education in Iran had a ceremony in a school called Madrasa Refah in Iran, famous school. And he invited a local American official to attend the ceremony. The Minister of Education is not only leading the ceremonies, he even arranged the number of chairs that are there, the people, the guests are supposed to sit on. And he counted out the chairs carefully. He counted himself as a guest, and he made sure there was enough chairs for their guest. What he forgot was that the dog of the American official should have a chair. So the dog had a chair, and the Minister of Education in Iran stood in front of all those students. Iran was so weak and despicable that in the time of the Shah, you may look this up in history, there was something called the Tehran Conference. Stalin, Roosevelt, Churchill, the big three, they came to Iran. They held a conference in Iran, the Tehran Conference. They didn't get permission to enter. They never showed a passport. They didn't even go visit the Shah. The Shah came to see them. They wouldn't get up out of respect for the Shah. Iran was so weak and powerless. They were importing shovel handles and sewing needles. So when you look now at the advances of the system of wilaya, the system of the Mahdi, and you see what it can do, and you tell the world, know what the Iranians were like, how degraded they were. So now, having said that, how would you, Imam Khomeini, want you and I, as his students, to look at this opportunity to take on global systemic racism here in America, to the African-American community, but all over the world. The rest of the world, the cries of I can't breathe, are the people in America are saying them. The rest of the world, that's the heart, their words. The knee is still on their neck. 400 years. What would Imam Khomeini want us to do? A couple of lessons from Imam Khomeini. One of them from Imam Khomeini 5. One. Number one, Imam Khomeini wants you to take ownership and consider yourself responsible for liberating the oppressed here and the oppressed around the globe, to take personal ownership. Imam Khomeini, one of the verses he loved to quote was this verse, Surah 34, verse number 46. God says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدًا. I only advise you to do one thing. أَن تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ. That you stand, you rise, you do qiyam for Allah, matna wa furada, whether it be in twos or whether it be by yourself, to personally take ownership of this. Number two, Imam Khomeini would want you to call this, Imam Khomeini called a spade a spade. Imam Khomeini would denounce things. He wouldn't tiptoe around issues. We have to call it what it is. Once, before Imam Khomeini's historical speech in Fayliya, the Shah, the Savak, they gathered some of the ulama and they explained to them that there are three areas that you can't touch. They told them, don't say anything bad about Israel. Don't talk about the Shah. and don't say Islam is in danger. Imam Khomeini got wind of this. Imam Khomeini said, if we don't talk about this, what else is there to discuss? Then he went to Vaidiyya. Then he spoke about the Shah. And you can see the videos of what Imam Khomeini said. Call a spade a spade. Talk about it. Talk about systematic racism. Declare that it exists and that it's wrong. And also say that racism exists amongst Muslims. Not systematic racism, but call a spade, as Imam Baqir says, Wallah ma yanju min al-dhanb illa man aqarra bih. Nobody escapes from a sin except the person who admits that it's a sin, that it's wrong. Nobody's above the law. Number three, Imam Khomeini would have wanted us to offer a solution to the world and to make that solution Islam. Not that we repeat platitudes or that we just say the same slogans as everybody else. Tawheed, the system of wilaya, our solution. Imam Khomeini never shied away from Islam and what the Islamic solution is. What's the Islamic solution? Rasulullah taught us in the last of his khutbas, khutbatul wida. Ya ayyuhannas, inna rabbukum wahid. People, your Lord is one. Wa inna abakum wahid. And your father is one. La fadla li'arabiyyan ala ajamiyyan. There is no merit that an Arab holds over a non-Arab. وَلَا لِأَعْجَمِيٍّ عَلَىٰ عَرَبِيٍّ. Nor that a non-Arab holds over an Arab. وَلَا لِأَحْمَرْ عَلَىٰ الْأَسْوَدِ. Nor that a white holds over a black. وَلَا لِأَسْوَدْ عَلَىٰ الْأَحْمَرْ عَلَىٰ أَحْمَرْ إِلَّا بِتَقْوَىٰ. The only distinction is God consciousness. In Islam, we do see race, brothers and sisters, but we see it as it is in the ayat of the Quran. It's one of the signs of Allah, our tongues, our languages that we speak, the colors that we have, the shapes that we have, the texture of our skin. Allah explains this to us, Surah 30, verse number 22. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. So among the signs of God, خلق السماوات والأرض, creation of the heavens and the earth, واختلاف ألسنتكم وألوانكم, the idea that you have, you speak different languages, you have different colors. God made us, he says in the Quran, Surah Hujurat, وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل. We made you into nations and tribes. Why? لتعارفوا. You should know each other. Inna akramakum indallah atqakum. There's no distinction between anyone. The person who is the best of you is the person who has taqwa. Number four. One of the tests, brothers and sisters, one of the areas that you see Muslims flounder in when it comes to racism, when it's home, is in the issue of marriage. In Islam, lesson from Imam Khomeini, we should consider others our family. Maybe you've seen this video of Imam Khomeini, where he explains, he says that the same love that we have for Iran, we have for Iraq. They are our people. He says, if we love Iran, it's because of Islam. If we love Iraq, it's because of Islam. The Imam over there, Islam. Many Muslims get selective amnesia. Want to get married, and then suddenly, well, I do have a racial criteria. We might not say it in that way. My parents, some of them very clearly say. Why do we forget what Prophet Muhammad told Imam Ali and the other Muslims? He says, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ خُلُقَهُ وَدِينَهُ فَزَوِّجُوا. If someone comes to you, you're pleased with their akhlaq and their religion, marry them off. Don't you as parents be an obstacle to your children getting married. Yes, you're not going to marry somebody because they're outside of your race, but that's not an obstacle. That's not okay. In our culture, if you witness it happen in your communities and you know that's the obstacle and you're indifferent and you keep your mouth shut, you say, well, the people won't understand. There's racism in Muslim communities. There's racism towards the black folk. There's racism amongst Arabs. There's racism amongst Pakistanis and Hoxhas and Desis and Afghans and Iranians. There is racism. We have to talk about it. We have to say it's not right. We have to stand up against it. As the Hadith teaches, we have to become family. The Prophet says, or he says specifically, "Ankahtu Zayd ibn Haritha, Zainab." I married Zayd to Zainab. "Ankahtu al-Miqdad Dhuba'ah." I made Miqdad marry Dhuba'ah. He says, why? "Liya'lamu," that they would know, "anna ashraf al-sharaf al-Islam." That Islam is the sharaf. The fifth and the last thing, and I hope I haven't ran over my time because it is an honor for all of us. I got a chance to listen to my dear brother, Sheikh Shamshad, and now Sayyid Farhat, who is the resident alim in IEC Houston. He will be addressing all of us. We'll be benefiting from his words. Number five is to talk about the system of Pharaoh, brothers and sisters. Don't shy away from this as well. Oppression, but then the system. You see, brothers and sisters, there's a beautiful statement. Again, Imam Khomeini, right? He would refocus the attention of the people on the Taghut himself. He used to say, as they say in Farsi, "Harche faryad darid bar sar Amrika bekeshid." You take it back to the source, to the root, to the Taghut himself. Imam Khomeini used to say, not this one, Imam Khomeini, Malcolm X, he said this: "If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, that's not progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. Progress is healing the wound that made the blade. If these cops get a slap on the wrist, if there were just laws here in America, if black people were treated equally, if, would that be it? Is that progress? If black people get their rights, the 400 years of oppression, if that, why is it that black people are part of the police force? Why is it my grandfather died in Vietnam? What did the Vietnamese do? The oppression of the American administration, the peoples of the world still have the knee on their neck. That's why the people marched. If you looked at the protests globally, they marched on the U.S. embassies in many countries, the consulate. They're furious. It's the system of Yazid and Fir'aun. And until you fix that system, the problem continues. The call of the people, if you look at the non-Muslims who are talking about this issue, with their fitrah, they don't know the hadith, they don't know the ayat. With their fitrah, they're calling for imamah. This is up to you and I now to use that creativity to bring them to the system and take them away from the system of Yazid. They're saying, our leaders need to be accountable. We need just laws, that laws apply to everybody. Question, if just laws are made, who's going to enforce them? The same police? If you punish the police force, what about the tawaghit who rule? Those who make the policies, qualified immunity, who made that? What idiot would think that fixing, reforming the police force will resolve this issue? The only solution is God and educating the people, our neighbors, who are good people. This is how the system of Fir'aun works. This is Surah 43, verse number 54. God says this about the politics of Pharaoh. فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُ. He stupefied his people. فَأَطَاعُوا. And then they obeyed him. That's up to us to reverse this, to explain to people. They're calling out for imamah. It takes bravery for Muslims to come out and say that the solution is this. As Allah says in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. God gave dignity to man. I ask Allah, accept what was said and heard in His way and make us the true students of Imam Khomeini. May He raise him with Ahlul Bayt. May He raise us with Ahlul Bayt. May He give us the strength to liberate the oppressed here and also abroad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد الحمد لله رب العالمين. We thank Maulana Sheikh Osama for that very enlightening and empowering speech. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that what the Muslim Ummah needs is to be empowered, and that is exactly what Imam Khomeini did. It might occur to many Muslims, especially those living in the West, that, you know, what is the benefit of mentioning Imam Khomeini's name? What is the benefit of commemorating the history and the anniversaries that are associated with the Islamic Revolution? And typically this comes from the perspective of, you know, maybe we'll get in trouble or maybe this or that might happen to us. Imam Khamenei, the current leader, has mentioned before that unless people are introduced to Imam Khomeini, they will never understand the revolution, the Islamic revolution of Iran. And it has been said by another scholar, the danger of presenting Islam to people in a way where we distort the image of Islam in order to allow a Western audience or a non-Muslim audience to accept Islam. So kind of like tricking them in rather than presenting the real image of Islam. And the problem is that Sahib al-Zaman, inshallah, when he returns, he's going to return with a replacement and an alternative, the divine alternative to the corrupt system of the tawaghit. And in order to prepare the minds and the hearts of the people, we need to be able to present Islam as it is. And we need to be able to introduce people to the example of Islamic governance and of imama that we have, which is in the Islamic Republic of Iran, and that will not be accomplished unless people understand who Imam Khomeini actually was. Inshallah, for the conclusion of the program, we will have the final scholarly speech, and it will be presented, inshallah, by Maulana Farhat Abbas, who is the resident scholar in Houston. Inshallah, we're going to now benefit greatly from his concluding remarks for this program. After salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in. Innahu khairu nasirin wa mu'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we heard the beautiful speech by Hujjatul Islam, Osama Abdul Ghani, and Sheikh Shamshad Haider. I just want to say a few words, inshallah, about this 31st, at the occasion of 31st anniversary of, demise anniversary of Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayh. First of all, it's really an honor for me to speak about this great personality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'd like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gave me this opportunity to talk about Imam Khomeini. Without any doubt, he was one of the most important personality of our time. One of the most important personality of this century. He was Khomeini the Great, Khomeini Kabir. Now, talking about Imam is very hard. We have in logic one of the formula, I'm not going to discuss that. It's about mu'arrif wa mu'arraf, an identifier and something to be identified. Like someone is introducing other personality, that person need to have higher knowledge. He has to have a higher status, or at least equal status than that person, in order to explain that personality. But Imam Khomeini, it's not easy to introduce Imam Khomeini. It's a similar thing like in Islamic text, you see that there is a one time Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please recite aloud salawat. He talked with Imam Ali and says, Ya Ali, ma arrafallah in illa ana wa anta. That no one has recognized Allah other than you and me. And no one has recognized me except Allah and you. And no one has recognized you except Allah wa ana. So recognizing something is not easy. It's not easy. So shedding a light on Imam, we cannot do it. That's why what I did, I opened up Sahifa Imam Khomeini, volume number 5, page number 34. And I said, let's see what Imam is, how Imam is introducing himself and how Imam is introducing his revolution. Now, some people, they think that Imam, he was the leader of a revolution in Iran. He stood against Pahlavi regime. Yes, that's true. Apparently, that's right. But in reality, he stood against the global system. He stood against the global system of injustice. Let's see, before he went back to Iran, just like 18th Zilhajjah, 1398, that was 28 Aban, 1357. He delivered a speech in Paris, and he started with this ayah. Several of our esteemed speakers, they talk about this ayah. This ayah is about this ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And Imam started his short speech with this ayah. He said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Qul innama a'idukum biwahida. And taqumu lillahi mathna wa furada. That's how he's explaining his revolution. Before, which means he's talking about, and again, I'm reading this from Sahifa Imam Khomeini, volume number 5, page number 34, where he said, after reciting this ayah, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse said, I'm only giving you one advice. Only one advice. Now you can understand, this wa'iz, the advisor is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is giving advice to Prophet. So you can understand this advice is very important. And the advice was, antaqumu lillahi. That's number one. Antaqumu lillahi. You rise up for Allah. Lillah. So he was announcing that my revolution is not only for Iran. I'm rising for Allah. And then he mentioned the method, mathna wa furada. This effort, this uprising, you may start with one person or maybe two people. Then he, again, he mentioned, and I'm going to recite, I'm going to mention this in Persian, which he wrote, he mentioned there. He said, digar vahshati neist. We don't need to be scared. Qayam agar lillah hast, barai khuda hast. Qayam lillah hich khusran nadarat. Hich zarar tu yaan neist. He said, if you believe this revolution, if this qayam, if this uprising is for Allah, then you don't need to be scared about this. If it's for Allah, then there is no... there is no zarar in it. There is no loss in it. Now, I started by saying that he was Khomeini the great. Like we in Farsi, we said Khomeini Kabir. Again, that's the reality. I don't know how many of you were young before revolution. I remember that time. And Imam, he changed the whole world. One of the American strategist, he said that some people that think that revolution, Imam Khomeini brought, he was using word Khomeini, he was not saying Imam. He said Khomeini brought this revolution and he snatched a base from West and deprived us from its oil. They think that's what happened. He says, no, who said that? Instead, he put our ideology in question. He said, we struggled for 300 years. We struggle and we created all those ideology and we have subjugated the whole world to our ideology. And Imam came and with his revolution, he changed all these terminologies. We were planning to have, through our ideology, have this new world order where everyone will accept us. And that was the case. As I said, some of you, you cannot, if you were not there before revolution, you cannot comprehend it. Before Imam, no one dared to question these terminologies. All those ideologies, social ideology they put, people were accepting as it's a divine. No one was questioning it. No one. So he himself said that we decided to give, in order to bring people under our control and in order to subjugate them, the world, we gave them this lesson of realism. You know, sometimes these politicians, they give this, accept reality. These peoples are powerful, you're weak, accept them. He said, we came up with this terminology of realism, that all right, accept reality. If someone is strong, accept his power. He said, Imam Khomeini came and he gave another lesson. He gave us a lesson of jihad, struggle, shahadat. Stand up. He said, we taught to the world that in order to make the world civilized, there are some rules of world diplomacy. You need to follow these rules, and then you will be a civilized nation. But then Khomeini came and he trampled the rules of diplomacy under his feet. And again, you remember that his famous fatwa against Salman Rushdie. He said, through capitalism, we divide this world between developed world and underdeveloped world. First class world and third class world. You remember this terminology. You probably remember these terminologies. Oh, this is a third world. Who introduced this terminology? These people, they introduced, they divided this world. This is the developed world. This is the underdeveloped world. This is like first world. This is like a third world. He said, Imam Khomeini came and he divided this. He changed, he challenged this terminology. Completely he challenged this. He said, no, world is not divided between first class and the third class. World is between mustakbirin and mustaz'afin. He introduced this terminology, the Arabic terminology. He said, no, that's not how the world is divided. The developed world, and we look towards them, an underdeveloped world. No, that's not the case. World is divided between oppressors and oppressed. See, all what you see this today, George Floyd, the case of George Floyd is the same old mentality. We are superior. We are first class citizens. They are third class citizens. Imam said, no. Imam said, I'm not going to accept that. They are oppressors and they are oppressed. This strategy says we introduce this theory of, we introduce this theory that, well, under secularism, the religion got expired. The date of religion is no more. We introduced this ideology, separation between church and state. You heard that, right? Religion, there is no, religion is what? All right, that's your personal matter. Religion has nothing to do with politics. Religion has nothing to do with other things. All right, you follow this religion, go do it. You want to go to synagogue, you go to church. But religion is a personal business. It's not the business of a society. It's not the business of economy. It's not nothing. It's not for the justice. We will provide justice. So they were saying that religion is not effective. He said, Imam Khomeini came, and he destroyed this whole ideology by bringing a revolution based on religion. And you notice that. Again, if any one of you are interested in history, go start searching all the religious movement. They started after this revolution. All of them. Now, these Western powers, they were introducing this globalization. That, all right, world is a globe. And in this globe, few developed nations, they have power. You need to accept them as a leader. Imam Khomeini came and he made globalizations of Mahdaviyat. He hold that flag. If there is any globalization, that globalization is only under Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam. Let me prove these statement. I was reading one of the interview of one of the very famous journalist and political interviewer, Orinia Fallaci. She was Italian, and she took the interview of Imam Khomeini. She used to take interview from several head of states. And she was famous for her critical remarks. And you can find that interview in New York Times. She took this interview on September 12, if I remember correctly, 1979. September 12, 1979. And this interview got published in New York Times sometime in October 1979. She came over there and she was sitting in front of Imam Khomeini and she was asking very critical question. And if you read this, I'll recommend all of you go read that interview. That will show that the courage of Imam Khomeini and his knowledge. I'm just going to bring one question she asked and the answer Imam gave. So you can understand that how much Basirat Imam had and how he was challenging all these terminologies. So again, Orinia Fallaci, she's asking this question. I just selected one. She said, I'm asking this question with much curiosity because in the March 1979 referendum, on whether there was to be a republic or monarchy, you prohibited the expression Islamic Democratic Republic. Now she's talking, again, I'm quoting her word, quote, okay. You prohibited the expression Islamic Democratic Republic. You banned the word democratic, saying not a word more, not a word less. Imam said that, I still remember. Imam said that, not one harf more, what one word more, not less. He said, I'm not going to accept anything. Now it's the time of the constitution. People are writing constitution, referendum is happening. And people are debating whether we're going to have this Islamic Democratic Republic or Islamic Republic. Imam said, no, Islamic Republic. And she was questioning about that. She said, you banned the word. And she's just sitting in front of Imam, Democratic, saying, not a word more, not a word less. And she said, as a result, the people who believe in you use the term democracy as though it were a dirty word. And she's asking now, what's wrong with this noun, which seems so beautiful to us in the West? Now listen to the Imam's response. And that's why I'm calling him Khomeini the Great. Khomeini the Great. And now you can link this, that Qiyam, that revolution, he said, Lillah, antaqumu lillahi, that you stand up for Allah. It's not just for the Iranian nation. Yes, that he was there in Iran and he has to stand up for the nation. But in reality, his revolution was global. So listen to his response. And again, as I said, you can go search Google and type that Orina Falachi interview with Imam Khomeini. Here Imam replied. He said, to begin with, the word Islam does not need adjective such as democratic. Precisely because Islam is everything. It means everything. He says, it is sad for us to add another word near the word Islam, which is perfect. And then he started criticizing. And again, and that shows, again, these people, some people, they think he was mullah. He was like a scholar only sitting in the Qum. He has no knowledge. And then he started looking at. He said, beside this democracy, which you love so much and that you consider so valuable, does not have a precise meaning. And he said, Aristotle democracy is one thing, the Soviet democracy is another thing, the democracy of the capitalist is still another. We cannot afford to have such an ambiguous concept placed in our constitution. He bluntly rejects this word. He says, only Islamic Republic. So again, as I said earlier, Imam Khomeini, it's not easy to recognize him, his personality. It's not easy. Only we can say that he was Khomeini Kabir. He was Khomeini the Great. And his revolution was universal. His revolution was purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah that will connect with Imam Mahdi ajallallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq that we can follow the footstep of this great man like our esteemed scholar Sheikh Osama said. He was like doing the work of Anbiya, to follow his footstep so we can connect with our Mawla and Hujjatullah, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Thank you so much to Sayyid Farhat Abbas for that, for another very enlightening talk. Inshallah, that summarizes and concludes today's program. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Nabi Adam, there was a period of time where it was just the form of Nabi Adam. And it wasn't until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew his spirit into the lifeless body of Nabi Adam that he became, that he came to life and he became a real human being. And so in Arabic they say, when somebody is as their name implies, they say ism ala musamma. So if somebody is named Kareem and they truly are Kareem, then they are like that. And I always think to myself that if anybody ever was truly like that, it was Imam Khomeini, who was Ruhullah, truly the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gives life. And in a world of materialism and in a world of irreligiosity, a world of secularism, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed Imam Khomeini, he placed Ruhullah and gave life to the entire ummah. And inshallah, through him, we'll see that the entire world comes to life. Inshallah, we will conclude the program with Dua al-Wahda. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. La ilaha illallahu ilahan wahidan wa nahnu lahu muslimun. La ilaha illallah wa la na'budu illa iyyah. مخلصين له الدين ولو كره المشركون لا إله إلا